So the minister and his young son were on their way to church on Christmas Eve. And as they were driving along, the little boy looked up at his dad and he said, "Dad, are we going to enjoy Christmas this year, or are you going to try to explain it to everybody again?" I'm not going to try to explain it to you. I think you've generally got the idea. But I do ask the question, what is the message? The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For to you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." What does all this mean? Because you see, in the Christmas season, we can get sidetracked a little, can't we? We can get caught up in the shopping, and we can get caught up in the crowds, and we can get caught up in programs, and all those are fine and good, and I get it. But if you distill it down to its essence, what is this good news of great joy? What is the word to us? So today, for just a few moments, I want to pick up on two things, two very small things, yet great things. Two words. There are two words in the passage I read for you. One is the word Savior, and the other is the word Lord. Savior and Lord. It says, your Savior is born. Can I confess to you today that I need a Savior? I need a Savior. There are so many things in my life that I need to do and I cannot do, or at least I can't do very well. For example, most people who know me know that I am not what you would call mechanically inclined. I think I'm far better at it than I actually am. That's the truth. I'll never forget the Christmas when our two older sons, Taylor and Justin, got a basketball goal for Christmas. Remember this? And Santa had commissioned me to put it together. That was the deal. Santa had pointed to me and said, "You put it there, you put it together," which was a mistake on Santa's part, I assure you. And so, in an effort to please Santa and to surprise the boys, I pulled this thing out of the box. It had exactly 1,006 pieces to it, I believe. And I distinctly remember looking at the box and thinking to myself, how hard can this be? No big deal. One of my favorite lines is, it's no hill for a climber. No, we can do this. However, can I just tell you what the three most feared words in this season are now for me? Some assembly required. Holy cow. Some assembly required, which for me now translates into MIT degree necessary. I worked on that thing for hours, and when I had reached what I thought was the completion, it was a pathetic looking thing. It was rickety and unstable. Look, I just can't process insert screw A into hole B with part C. Some people are great with that. No problem, no big deal. For me, that's like womp, 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 womp. I'm not able to grasp it. I need help. One of the things that increasingly troubles me about our culture is that people don't really think they need help. They really don't. You know, we are becoming more and more independent as a culture. Have you noticed that? People are doing their own thing, that kind of thing. And so now it's not so much I need help, so now it's just leave me alone. Let me do my thing. Let me be who I am. Today, I have come to announce to you that not only do I need a Savior, but so do you. So do you. The truth is, God came to us because there was no other way to make it right. There was no other way. If you read your Bible from the very beginning, you will see that there is this constant attempt on God's part to connect with His people. From the very beginning, God's desire to be in relationship with His people. And the story of the Scripture is God's reaching out to people and people rejecting Him. That's really the story of the Scriptures. And so after attempt and attempt and attempt and attempt, heaven determined the only way to make it right was to go yourself. And so that's why on Christmas Eve we say things like, God strolled down the stairway of heaven with a baby in His hands. And He came to us because you and I need a Savior. Can I just ask you today, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is He your Savior? You know, I hear people regularly say things like, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hear people say that. And it's almost like that it rolls off the tongue. But I've come to tell you today, and I want you to hear this with love on this Christmas day. When you and I are brought into this world, the hourglass, the sand in the hourglass begins, right? And there will come a day, the Scripture teaches us, when we will depart from this world. And the Scripture says, if you think you can do it on your own, you've got another thing coming. You and I need a Savior. So I'll ask the question again. Are you certain Jesus is your personal Savior? It's a really important question. It's a really, really important question. You need a Savior, and I need a Savior. The other word I want to mention to you today is, of course, the word Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of all in life. He is the one life is all about. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, a couple of verses, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. For some of you, you know that passage very well, don't you? It goes something like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. If you're looking for a great passage of Scripture to hang on to going forward, that's a good one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So I'll just ask another question. In whom or in what do you trust? For people trust in lots of different things. Some people trust in their success. Some people trust in their money. Some people trust in, well, people trust in all kinds of things. But listen, the Bible never says those things are bad. The Bible never says things that we often associate with bad. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, Put first Christ as Lord of your life. The other things are important. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. You see, the problem is we get our priorities mixed up, don't we? We think if we do this, 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 and this, then everything else will be all right. But the Scripture says, start with trusting in God. Seek first the kingdom of God, the Bible says. It doesn't say don't seek anything else. It never says that. It says seek first the kingdom of God. Each and every day when you get up, you have a choice. Your choice is, am I going to run everything, or am I going to allow God to instruct me and walk with me through this day? I've seen far too many cases where people have tried and tried and tried to do it, and they've come to points of frustration. So I just want to ask the question again. Are you sure Jesus is Lord of your life? Are you sure of that? Because if you're not sure, today is a great day to get sure. Because the next time the church gathers will be a new year, right? So I'll see you next year. The next time the church gathers will be at a different time. I want to give you today an opportunity to really think through the question, is Jesus Christ my Savior or is something else? And you know what? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody. But guess what else? You don't have to tell God. He already knows. Is Christ your Savior? Because, well, this life isn't all there is to life, right? Some time ago, someone passed on to me this little piece by an anonymous author. I suspect you've heard it before. He was born of Jewish parents, the child of a peasant woman. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things we usually associate with greatness. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One denied him. Another one betrayed him. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves, and his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he owned, his robe. When he was dead, his body was taken down and placed in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20-plus centuries have come and gone, and he remains the centerpiece of human history. I am well within the mark when I say that of all the armies that have ever marched and all the navies that have ever sailed and all the parliaments that have ever sat and all the kings that have ever reigned put together, they have not affected the life of humankind upon this earth as much as this one solitary life. And this is Christmas Day. So may I commend him to you as one to pattern your life after? May I commend him to you as one you choose daily to follow? Today we remember what God has done for us, and we have the opportunity to say to God, I choose you. I choose you. Because if you don't choose, something will be chosen for you. And I encourage you today to choose Christ. Merry Christmas to you today. May God bless you always, and may he keep you in his hand and guide and order and protect your life. May you choose Christ as Savior and as Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the message of the angels. And we thank you that the angels issued an invitation to experience this truth for ourselves. It is my prayer, O God, that every man, every woman, every boy, girl in this place will receive him as Savior and as Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And all of his people said, Amen.